Support for Here and Now comes from BetterHelp, committed to supporting mental health through therapy. Clients are matched with one of 25,000 therapists and can communicate via video, chat, or phone at betterhelp.com/public.
We've been talking about retirement and Social Security, the federal government's largest benefit program. About 97% of Americans over age 60 receive or will receive Social Security, and about 39.5 million retirees receive Social Security benefits. Nearly everyone pays into the system through payroll taxes, and nearly everyone can expect to receive benefits when they reach retirement age. But the number of people receiving Social Security keeps going up, so reforms are needed to keep the system functioning for the next generation. On Tuesday, we heard from a certified financial planner who said this.
It's certainly not reliable, in our opinion, for anybody under the age of 35. Often when we do financial planning, we remove Social Security for anybody younger. From our perspective, it's just too much of a risk.
We heard from a lot of you about that. Right now, let's hear from Carolyn Colvin, the acting commissioner of the Social Security Administration. And Carolyn Colvin, when we hear from financial planners like that who are saying they're telling their clients who are under 35, don't even count on Social Security being there for you because it won't, what do you say to that? Is that wrong?
I said that's wrong. The program has existed for 80 years. I have no doubt that it will be strong and robust for the next 80 years. Each year we provide projections for the next 75 years. Most of those projections have been pretty accurate. And so Congress knows well in advance what the challenges are, and they have more than adequate opportunity to fix those, as they've always done in the past. You remember the 1983 bipartisan commission that was led by Alan Greenspan. We know that there will have to be some changes, and there have been over 100 policy proposals that have been analyzed and scored by our independent actuary, which indicates what the impact will be on the program depending upon which of those policies are selected by the administration and by Congress. So we have.
But do you think it's going to be just minor changes that are needed or something big, a big major overhaul?
I think that will depend upon the debate that Congress and the administration and the American public will have. You know, we are a bipartisan agency. We don't take a position here, but certainly we expect that there will have to be some changes to the program.
How much of a difference would it make to raise the age? And that's one of the things that they did back in the 1980s, is they raised the age. Does that make a difference? And I ask you that, by the way, as somebody, you yourself, are 73 years old, I believe, which
yes, that's
under
correct.
The Social Security program, you could have been collecting full benefits just a few years ago, but you're still working.
Well, I do collect benefits because I had retired and then I came back. Many people do choose to work at least until 70 before they collect their benefits, and they have that option. But I think that the important thing is that the retirement age is one of the policy proposals that our actuary has analyzed and scored. You can go to our website and find out what that impact would be. I'm not able to specifically tell you that here.
A lot of people have talked about means testing Social Security, about basically if you're rich enough that you don't need Social Security, maybe you shouldn't get Social Security. And then there are a lot of advocates of the Social Security program as it exists today who say, well, that defeats the whole idea of it, which is the importance of it being a program that everybody pays into and everybody gets something out of. Talk a little about that and how that figures into any reforms that might happen down the road.
Well, Jeremy, I think that that is the foundation that this program was built on. It is an earned benefit. The worker pays in 6.2% and the employer pays in 6.2%. So certainly people pay into the system, anticipate that they're going to receive a benefit when they need it. So to suggest that some would pay in but not receive anything, I think would change the entire construct of this program.
The other thing that has been brought up, and as we've been talking to experts about this, is that if you do raise the age, and I understand you're not going to advocate one way or the other on that, but if the age is raised on when you can collect Social Security, it ends up having a disproportionate impact on the poor, who may not live as long as people who are more well off.
Any change is going to have some winners and some losers. So clearly, when you talk about changing the retirement age again, you're going to have some winners and some losers.
If you were to set up Social Security today, would you set it up in the same way it was set up back in the 30s?
Absolutely. I think that President Roosevelt recognized that there was going to be a need to ensure that American workers would be able to have insurance when they retired. So I would say the funding of paying into the system with the expectation that you would receive a benefit was the right construct when this program was first developed.
How much additional savings do you recommend that Americans do in addition to whatever they're going to get out of Social Security?
Well, that's a very good question, Jeremy, because Social Security was never intended to be the sole source of one's income when they retired. We know that the American population has not traditionally saved enough money. And, of course, the amount that they can save will depend upon their own individual circumstances. But we would urge everyone to save as much as they possibly can because the life expectancy rate has changed. We have over 40,000 people on our rolls now who are 100 years of age and older. We have 10,000 people turning 65 years of age every single day. So we know that many people will outlive their savings, but Social Security then, of course, helps to supplement that. And then we also know that we are seeing less and less defined pension plans so that Social Security becomes even more important because we always saw it as a three-legged stool, Social Security, individual savings, and then the pension from the job where they were working. The president recognized this, and so he has a MyRA program that will allow people to begin to save, making it easy for them to have it deducted from their wages, just to get them in the habit of beginning to save.
And yet so many people don't do it. They retire and all they've got is Social Security.
Well, yes, and certainly we try to educate them to the importance of saving. We have our various retirement calculators online so that they can see the amount of money that they can expect to receive when they retire. That's another reason why our earnings statement is so important. We now have the earnings statement online. We urge people to take a look at that every year because their benefit will be dependent upon how much they've earned, and we want to make sure that's accurate. But it's also for planning purposes, so they can use that earnings statement with their financial advisors who will clearly let them know that Social Security is not going to be adequate for all of their needs when they retire.
Commissioner Colvin, when you see that Americans are getting healthier, that they're living longer, when the numbers come out, do you look at that and say, uh-oh, we're going to have to deal with this now, that people are going to need more Social Security for more time? Or do you say, good, great, everybody's happy and we'll just figure it out?
Well, I think it's both. We are excited that people are living longer, that they're healthy. But certainly we become attentive to the fact that that means that more people are going to be on Social Security longer. But that's the very purpose of putting out a yearly projection of what the impact of those variables will be on the trust funds for a 75-year projection. And so we look at all of those. We look at the mortality rates. We look at the birth rates. We know that there are fewer people paying into the Social Security system than there were when we first started this program. And so the variables change over time.
When do you think the next big overhaul is going to happen? How many years from now?
Well, we would hope that it would be very soon. We believe that the sooner change is made, the less impact we have on people who are receiving the benefits. It will give individuals time to plan, to know what the impact is going to be, and they can adjust their personal planning accordingly. We know that the program is solvent now until 2022, at least the retirement program, and through the reallocations that have occurred, we are not concerned about that. And we know the combined trust fund is solvent until 2034. But we certainly hope that Congress is not going to wait until those dates to make some decisions that would be important to make.
But it's so politically difficult for them to do it, isn't it?
Well, it's not easy because, as I mentioned, you're going to have winners and losers. But we have every confidence that Congress will make the necessary changes because they have done so in the past. I mean, this is a program that is the economic underpinning of financial security in this country. We pay out almost $1 trillion a year to 60 million plus individuals. Can you imagine what would happen if all of a sudden those benefits were discontinued? So we know that Congress will eventually make a bipartisan decision on what to do, but it's very difficult. It's very complex because any change is going to result in some winners and some losers.
That's Carolyn Colvin, the acting commissioner of the Social Security Administration. Commissioner, thanks for joining us.
Thank you, Jeremy. It's my pleasure.
And we've got a link to the Social Security Administration's website and its benefits calculator at hereandnow.org. And we've also been getting a lot of comments from you about reforming Social Security. Me Burns writes, one problem with suggesting that people delay retirement is that this is more difficult to do if one's job is physically taxing. If someone is laying carpets or doing restaurant work or doing just about anything in food production, it will not be so easy to keep going an extra 5 years. And JB722 writes, not fair that both of your retirement experts, he's talking about the people that we spoke with on Tuesday, incorrectly said Social Security will not be available for the millennial generation. All the U.S. needs is the political will to fix any problems with the system. Well, tomorrow, how the retirement system in the United States compares to other countries and efforts to make it easier for people to have workplace savings plans. That's coming up tomorrow, here and now.